Well, it's Houston's really been an impressive team to watch on film this week. I think they really just do everything well. It's reflected in their record and the way they play. Very well coached, got a lot of good players, good schemes, very disciplined, sound, execute well. They can run it, they can throw it, they can stop the run, they can stop the pass. Good situational team, right area, third down. Got a lot of plays out of the return game in the last few weeks. So, good, solid football team. Got a lot of work to do and be a good challenge for us Monday night. These guys are they're good.
They seem to be exceptionally proficient when it comes to play action. What are some of the things that you're seeing from them in that department, and how do you go about defending them?
They're a very well-balanced team. So they can run it, and they play action with the running game. So if you're stopping the run, you're light on the play action. If you're stopping the play action, you're probably light on the run. They do a good job of tying those plays together, complementing each other, and making you defend all of it. Gary, and of course going back to Shanahan when Gary was at Denver and with Shanahan, but they've always done a good job of attacking defenses and putting a lot of pressure on defenses. And he's doing a great job of it at Houston. We saw them. We played them a couple of years ago, and still see it. Everybody gets involved: tight ends, the receivers, the backs. You know, they use all their players with good balance, and they got a lot of them.
Is it almost identical to what, you could just interchange, whether it's Ed McCaffrey or Rod Smith, and put them in the Andre Johnson or put Terrell Davis in the Arian Foster role, or has it been tweaked?
Yeah, of course, it's specialized for their individual players, but conceptually, it's the same offense, yeah. And zone runs and bootlegs and play actions and a lot of formation, a lot of motion, that type of thing. Yeah, very similar. The type of the style of play that they used at Denver. Yes.
The strength for them this year seems to be third down defense. They've allowed the fewest conversions and lowest percentage as well. What makes them such a special defense on third down? And do you think some of that's attributable to being really good on first and second down, so you're forcing third and long situations where it's hard to convert?
I think there's some of that. I mean, they're a good defense on every down, but third down, they rush well and they cover well. Jackson and Joseph outside have done a good job for them all year, but they've had other guys come in there. I know McCain got hurt, but, he's done a good job for them. Quinn comes down and plays in their dime defense, and he's done a good job in coverage as well. So, and, of course, they can rush. They've created a lot of long yardage situations. They've been ahead, and so that's helped their pass rush. But they're a good third down defense. I mean, one of the best in the last 9-10 years statistically. Be under 30%. It's pretty impressive. They do everything well. I mean, they rush, they cover, they blitz, they mix it up. But you gotta really work to convert on third down against them.
Do they do a lot of situational substitutions? Or they pretty much roll? I mean, I know everyone does to a degree in this league.
No, they don't have a lot of groupings on offense or defense. They pretty much keep the same. Now, they interchange some people. They'll use all three of their tight ends, but there's usually two tight ends on the field. Defensively, they're pretty much 3-4, or they go to their dime package, goal line. But they don't have a lot of, million different groupings.
Wade Phillips has been a very good defensive coordinator for a long time. Is there anything that characterizes what his defenses are all about in his time, whether it be San Diego or Dallas or Buffalo all the way through?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much kept the same system through all those. That their 3-4 is really more of a one-gap 3-4 than a two-gap 3-4. They shade those guys, and they play, pretty high amount of man coverage, which he's done in the past. It varies a little bit, but they play quite a bit of man coverage, and then they go to their sub defense, which is a dime defense in this case, where they bring in Demps at safety and whoever the third corner is. They got some injuries; they've had a couple of injuries there now, but whoever that third corner is, and move Quinn down. So that's. There's not a myriad of formations and different personnel groupings and all that. They basically have, you know, the same guys on the field for a high percentage of the time. And, you know, this isn't the most complicated team we've ever seen, but they do well, and they're well balanced. They do enough things to keep you off balance, to complement what they're doing, so that they don't, you know, they're not just set in one track. They have a lot of multiples and variables, but it's kind of contained within the system, and they do it every week, and you have to deal with it every week. They're not going to let you off the hook. That they're going to give you those variables every week. You're going to have to decide how you want to handle them, and sooner or later, you're going to see them.
You know, people often say to players that you want to play against the best and do your best against the best to show how good you are. Is that almost the case here? You guys have a very good record, but this clearly is a team with the best record you've played. Is that kind of a case here where it's a measuring stick, I guess, of how good you are against the top teams?
Yeah, so we're not really too worried about our record. We're just worried about, you know, Houston. We know Houston's a good team, so whatever their record is, if it was 12-0, 11-1, 9-3, whatever, we know they're a good team. Doesn't really matter what happened against some other team they might have played, whether they won or lost. It's, you know, how we match up against them this week and how we do against them. So we play good players, good coaches, good teams every week. So, and these guys, you know, they've had a great season. I can see why their record's what it is. They got a good football team. But we're really not too worried about records. We're worried about our preparation and our performance.
Tom was just talking about getting the racquetball paddles out this week. Is that a good way to help simulate these guys getting their hands up with the passing lanes?
Yeah, maybe brooms. Getting a little longer. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they knock down a lot of balls. And it's not just knock down balls. It's tip balls for interceptions and everything else. So it's they're very disruptive front. You know, Smith and Watt especially. They're tough. They're tough to handle.
Can you talk a little bit about Watt and what makes him such a challenge and so special?
He does everything well. He's long. He's quick. He's instinctive. He's got a high motor. Plays hard. Good balance. Hard to knock off his feet. He does it all. He makes plays from behind. He makes plays at the point of attack. He's a good pass rusher. He's got a variety of moves. They use him on different stunts and games. He's quick and fast enough to rush out of his lane and still get to the quarterback. So he's again got good instincts to tip balls, get his hands up in the throwing lane, that type of thing. He's long. So, you know, it's a hard guy to get a solid hit on because of his length and his quickness. He's a good player.
A number of injuries, obviously. Question: how have they adjusted defensively? Obviously, they've made some significant adjustments that have had success.
Just brought other guys in there and put them in there and plugged them in there. You know, they play different guys on the offensive line. They use three tight ends. Got some depth at running back. Got some depth at receiver. Makes guys up on the defensive line. With Reed, Cushing, same thing in the secondary. You know, they still play well.
So you see Matt Schaub his whole career, seeing him progress. Where is he now in terms of what you're seeing in him, and how has he been able to progress to that top level?
Well, I'm sure being in the same system has helped him. And he's done a good job of, I mean, he can make all the throws. I think we know that. He can throw deep, short, inside, outside. He spreads the ball around to all the receivers. He throws to his backs, his tight ends, and slot receiver, the perimeter receiver. So he can make all the throws, and he gets the ball to everybody. Good play-action quarterback, fakes well, does a good job of the ball handling and all that. He's tough on that. He manages the game well. They've been in a lot of close games through the years, and they've won a lot of them. I think that's, again, a credit to him of doing the right thing at the right time in the right situation to help his team win, which is what it's all about. So. Not a lot of strong points with Matt. He's been very consistent. He's playing well this year.
Bill, in your film study, was there anything to be gleaned from their loss against the Packers? I mean, is that something you guys maybe poured over to see?
Now they lose one game. You look at that game. I'd say it was a good night for the Packers and not a good night for the Texans. But I don't know if, you know, can replicate that. You know, there are definitely some things that came up in that game that I'm sure we'll try to do. I'm sure any team would try to do, whether they play themselves out or not. You know, I don't know. But it was a good night for the Packers. But Texans have had a lot more good ones than bad ones, that's for sure. You know, they came back the next week and, you know, beat the Ravens by 4 touchdowns. So, it didn't last long. And I think we can see a number of examples this year where things maybe haven't gone perfectly for the Texans. And then they've, whether it be the Detroit game, the Jacksonville game, they're behind, but, you know, came back and won those games. Or, you know, even the opening game against Miami where they didn't run the ball very well. And everybody was on them about the running game. And they came back and run for, you know, 220 yards against Jacksonville the next week. So things don't go right. They seem to get them straightened out in a hurry. And whatever happened against Green Bay, it definitely didn't happen the next week against Baltimore. And they're 6-0 on the road, so they've certainly been able to deal with that in a positive way. And that's why they're 11-1.
You brought Dante Stallworth back. What can he provide you, and is it possible he can help out on special teams?
Well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes this week. We'll see what his role ends up being this week. You know, we haven't seen him for 3 months, so put him out there in practice, go through some things, see how it looks, and do what we think's best for the team for this week.
Bill, Tom was talking about playing on Monday night, special for the players. As a coaching staff, how does playing on a Monday night change things for you or affect the way you guys prepare?
Well, I don't think it affects your preparation. You know, you have a little bit more time just to figure out how you're going to use it. What's the best thing for the team for that particular week, for that game? But I mean, otherwise, what we usually try to do is we take whenever the game is, whether it's Monday, Sunday, Thursday, or whatever it is, and try to back it up so that the time before the game is as consistent as we can be. The day before the game, 2 days before the game, and then whether you have extra time or less time and has to be condensed or it's expanded, you just have to figure out how you want to maximize your use of that time, whatever it is, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it is. But kind of the couple of days before the game, we try to make it consistent as we can so that the final preparations are kind of in a step that where the players know where they are 2 days before the game, a day and a half before the game, a day before the game, a few hours before the game, and so forth, so that routine is consistent. So, you know, we have an extra day here. We'll take advantage of that, today, and then starting tomorrow, we'll have the same time that we have on a normal Sunday day game.
Just want to ask quick on Brandon Bolden. Any plans for him coming? You have a roster exemption. Do you know what you'll do with that?
What's the question? Do we have a roster exemption?
What will you do with Brandon Bolden as a suspension?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes this week. I mean, just came back this week. We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Just actually coach about Matt Light. He's going to be honored at halftime. Just what he's meant to the organization.
Well, you know, Matt really, I think as we talked about when he retired, great player for this organization at a key position. You know, brought a lot to the team in terms of personality and leadership, toughness, dependability, consistency. Really, he had a great career starting from his rookie year and all the way through. I mean, he dealt with some, you know, personal things off the field, with the Crohn's disease and all that. But he, you know, I think in spite of those challenges, he really, you know, he found a way to still continue to perform at a very high level. And I think that's a great credit to him, too, on, you know, the adjustments and the things he had that he did on that level. He was great off the field with the team and in the locker room in terms of leadership and all that, but also in terms of his contributions to the community and, you know, what he's done with his foundation and so forth. So, I love coaching Matt Light, and I'm glad we had him on our team. He contributed a lot. He certainly knew how to needle and irritate people, sometimes in a good way. And that was, you know, something that every team needs a little bit of. It's a little bit of a lighter side of personality. And he was another one of his strengths. So, okay. All right.